Welcome to Idle Red Hands, a podcast from Japan about gaming and gamer life. And welcome to Idle Red Hands. I'm Chris.
I'm Lyle. I almost said I'm Wayne.
It's hopeful thinking, right? Wishful thinking.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. So Wayne won't be joining us for this episode.
Yeah, he's off in Los Angeles.
Yep.
Yep. Probably playing with the Happy Jacks crew.
Could be. Yeah, I asked him if he was going to meet up with them, but he wasn't sure.
I'm sure he will.
Yeah.
He can't resist.
Yeah, maybe he was just hiding it, you know.
Yeah, right. He didn't want to make
us cheating on us. Yeah. He's like, oh, no. We broke up.
Yeah, right.
I don't see them anymore.
Those guys, I don't even like those guys. No.
Who are you emailing? No one. So news for us, if you don't look at our Facebook page, one of them is, I finally saw Edge of Tomorrow. I don't know. Did you ever get around to seeing that?
I never did. And based specifically on your recommendation, I got my wife to rent it, so we will watch it later on.
Oh, cool. Hmm. Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I was surprised. Like, you posted that up on the Facebook page, and so many people jumped on and talking about how great a movie it was. I'd kind of just written it off as being another, you know, Tom Cruise vehicle, but...
Yeah, one person had seen it 4 times,
mm-hmm.
and one person watched it twice in 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's old school. I like it. Mm. No, I thought it was really good. Some humor in there, some good action scenes. Most of it wasn't really Mercury.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Tom Cruise was really good. I mean, he gets, for a movie star, for a big star, I think he's really underrated.
Well, you know, he is a good actor. That's why he's, you know, got such a good career behind him. He's crazy in real life, but he's all right on the screen.
Yeah. Hey, he plays a human really well.
Exactly.
Emily Blunt was really good in it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a nice shot of her coming up out of a push-up. And I think they repeat things in the movie. I think that's not a secret. So they made sure to repeat that one shot.
That push-up comes a lot.
Yeah. Oh, great. Yeah, no, I really, really recommend that movie if people haven't seen it. But yeah, like a lot of movies, we've seen them well after other people have seen them. So we posted up, hey, this is a great movie. And everybody's like, yeah, no, I, you know, 6 months ago when I watched that, was great.
Yeah, I watched it 10 years ago when it came out. And speaking of movies, The Hobbit's coming out soon.
Yeah, I started to see the trailers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty mixed. I mean, you watch the trailers and you get excited, and then you start to go, oh, but I remember the first two movies.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I was thinking to that myself, you know, I want to be really excited about it, but because I don't want to sound like I was disappointed, but that smog fight, that what felt like an hour long just running around, it was boring.
I can't say that. When I watched the first movie, I think I watched that on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was done, you know, you try to convince yourself that you watched a movie that you enjoyed, even though there was no enjoyment throughout the whole 2 or 3 hours. So that's what that was like. And then by the second movie, there was no illusion. It was just like, I fell asleep.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up. Yeah. And there's this big long chase scene with the dragon, and it just felt like you could really see the padding, especially in the second movie. And that's saying a lot considering the first movie took forever to get out of the Shire.
I honestly don't understand why he did that too, because the movie doesn't need padding. It was going to be plenty long enough without that.
Yeah, you could have made 2 movies or even 1 movie and it would have been really exciting, but then they didn't.
Yeah. I'm not that big a fan of Peter Jackson's action scenes because a lot of them, I think, carry on too long. But I think the river scene in the same movie was actually quite good. I enjoyed that a lot.
Oh, I thought that went on way too long.
Yeah, actually, I remember we talked about that
before.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
But, but then the smog one was just yawn-inducing. So, I don't know. I am looking forward to seeing it, and I am excited about it, but I wonder if it's not more because it's The Hobbit and less because it's, you know, the Peter Jackson movie. So.
Yeah. All right, but the movie that we're really going to be talking about is the movie where just the 90-second trailer has caught the internet by storm. And that's the new Star Wars, the 7th in the series.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So in this episode, we're going to be talking about games later on in the episode, but mostly we're going to be talking about the movies and just Star Wars in general.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd like to start by giving kind of a baseline of how big of a fan we are or what kind of fan we are. So I don't know, Chris, how would you rate yourself as a fan? Are you a mega Star Warrior? I don't know. What do they call Star Wars fans? Trekkers? They're not Trekkers, of course,
no.
What's the equivalent?
I don't know. I don't know a nickname for Star Wars fans.
We'll call them Star Warriors for this episode. Would you classify yourself as a Star Warrior?
Sure. That sounds like an extra geeky title for it, but yes, I would consider myself a Star Warrior. I'm not as big into it as some of my friends are, in that I don't know, you know, like the names of the band players at Jabba's Palace kind of thing, but well, okay, I know three of them, but not all of them. But
jeez, nerd.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, I'm a huge, huge Star Wars fan. I love it.
All right, how about the extended universe?
I enjoy delving deep into the Wikipedia articles on occasion, but I've read the Timothy Zahn books, but I haven't read much else in there. I haven't read any of the comic books, unfortunately. I actually do want to, just never got around to it. And yeah, I read some of the older Expanded Universe books too. So yeah, I've delved into the Expanded Universe, but I wouldn't say I'm really big into it.
I read the Thrawn trilogy,
yeah.
And Michael Stackpole, he wrote a series. It's like X-Wing Commander or something.
Oh yeah, I think I haven't.
It's like Wedge Antilles Rogue Squadron or something like that. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I read one of those, okay. And it obviously had a huge impact on me. and I read Dark Empire.
Oh, cool, cool.
Which was a Dark Force comic series. Mm-hmm. And but that's about it. Like I'm not too familiar with the extended universe. I really, of course, when I was a kid, I really enjoyed the original trilogy. Had a lot of the toys, and that's what I wanted for every Christmas. But mm-hmm. That's pretty normal.
Yeah.
I did actually buy the DVDs of the prequels. So
wow.
I guess that's dedicated.
That is impressive.
Unlike it's almost like a reverse Hobbit, where except for the first movie, which garbage, but I think I enjoyed the second and third movies better than I actually did, and then I watched them again, and it's like, oh, yeah, maybe I didn't enjoy these so much.
Yeah, so. Like, I really liked the prequels when I saw them in theater, but it's kind of the point now where they're almost unwatchable. I actually tried to rewatch the first one again recently, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't really get through it, it was too bad. But that said, the first was so horrible. Two and three were better.
Yeah, so I would say I'm a medium fan. So, you know, I don't dress up. I don't know a lot of the extra characters. I couldn't actually name all the bounty hunters in Empire Strikes Back. Yeah, well, maybe, I don't know. I can't name that one of the droid bounty hunters.
Oh, was it IG-09, something like that?
IG-88. I know that one. I don't know the other one. The one that looks like he's a protocol droid and they have to put with the insect head.
See, now I'm losing my cred here.
You, sir, are not a warrior. You are barely a squire.
Right. a Padawan.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm a middle fan, so that's where I'm coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your favorite movie, though?
Oh, it's got to be Empire. Empire Strikes Back. Hands down.
Okay.
You?
That was a good one. There's three to choose from, but yeah. I don't know. I like that. Probably the first one.
New Hope?
I really like the opening.
Mm-hmm.
I like Tatooine. I don't know. It was a complete movie.
Mm-hmm.
So Empire Strikes Back is of course really, really good. Has some great lines, but it's not a complete movie. And I get why it isn't. But
mm-hmm.
Return of the Jedi's got some good lines. It's got space battles. I really like the space battles.
Yeah. The fight over Yavin from the first movie, that was really, really good.
Yeah. So I guess I would say the first one.
Okay. That's cool. Yeah, I always liked Empire because it was kind of the more mature, the darker one. It really, because, you know, it's kind of the where everybody hits their hardest points in the arc of the trilogy. Yeah, and of course that reveal.
I am your father.
yeah, Luke, I'm your father, sure. Maybe people don't remember, but at the time, people weren't sure if that was actually the truth.
Oh,
like,
really?
When I was in the theater, you're like, okay, he said it, but that doesn't mean it's true. But I was crying because, like, you know, is Han alive? So, you know, it's like, oh, he's alive. And then there's the other thing, but you're like, well, I don't know if that's true or not.
Hmm.
Because Darth Vader's bad and bad people can lie. So
this is true.
So, it's shocking, but then you're like, wait a minute, but maybe it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to wait for the Return of the Jedi, and then they're like, oh, no, it's true. And you're like, oh, what? He's his father?
How did that work?
Yeah.
So your Han was your favorite character?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, no. Yeah Han Solo, I'm trying to be, I guess, cooler, going, no, somebody more obscure, but no, yeah, Han Solo was my favorite character.
That's right, you always try playing kind of the roguish characters in games, too, so that fits.
No, I've grown more. Yeah, when I was four, I just was stunted. That's it. I'm content.
I haven't expanded, but I've refined.
Yeah. What a character arc.
Yeah. Obvious for me, Vader. I love Vader.
when I was I thought Darth Vader was Mark Hamill, and Luke Skywalker was the guy in the black costume.
Wait, what?
I don't know how. I really don't know how. So I walked out of that movie thinking that their names were different.
I see.
Yeah, that Skywalker, I don't know, sounded more like the guy. I don't know how. Sorry. I was like four, so I was like...
Yeah.
And my first toy was R2-D2.
Oh, cool.
And I hadn't seen the movie yet. My dad brought it back from a business trip.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, this is a robot. He can be a cannon. He can be a garbage can.
I did the same thing. Like, you turn over him because he had the hollow bottom, and he turned into a cannon.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lynn didn't know what to do with him, though. And then it's like, but it was like cool. You had the one toy, and you're just playing with that. And then you see the movie, and like, oh, I need all of them.
Exactly.
Oh, great times. Mm. And then we grew up.
No, we didn't. At least I didn't.
But judging by the reaction from the trailer for the seventh movie, I guess everybody's still a kid again.
That's the way I felt. I, without joking, I actually watched it 3 times in a row when it first came out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I watched it.
That Millennium Falcon scene where it just swoops across the camera. It just seriously chills down my spine and everything. And I had to watch it again. I couldn't stop myself. I have not grown up.
Of all the scenes, it's probably like the stormtrooper in the desert scene,
mm-hmm.
and the X-wings skimming over the water. I guess,
yeah.
But I didn't know it was water. I read that it was water.
It looked very J.J. Abrams too.
With the lens flare.
Well, there was that. But mostly, do you remember the? This is for the audience as well. If you haven't seen it yet, please look up the Red Letter Media reviews of Star Wars. They're very, very critical, very cutting reviews of Star Wars, but they're also quite funny. But he also does review on the new Star Trek movie, the reboot. And he explains about how they took Star Wars and they amped up the adrenaline level to the umpteenth degree. So no one walks, everybody runs. You know, the alarms don't beep, they scream at you. And every scene in the trailer, I know it was meant to evoke excitement, but every scene in the trailer was adrenaline. There's the guy who jumps up out of the desert sweating. There's the speeder racing off into the distance. There's X-Wings flying over water. Looks like they're in combat, you know. The Millennium Falcon actually in combat. So it looked very J.J. Abrams to me in that sense.
Okay, I can see that. Yeah, I see that as a lot of trailers. But yeah, I can see with the analysis of Star Trek just being Star Wars on adrenaline.
Yeah, and I could be off because, I mean, the purpose of the trailer is to get you excited. So, I mean, they may have chosen those scenes specifically, but that's what I was reading out of it. So.
We've got a stormtrooper, whether or not he's a deserter or somebody. I think he's probably like a stormtrooper that maybe is going to desert or something like that. That would be interesting. We haven't seen that before.
Yeah, totally.
That minor controversy or some criticism on the internet about him being black and people not knowing enough about, I guess, the Star Wars canon,
mm-hmm.
to saying, oh, well, he should look like Jango Fett, because they're all clones, but by that point in the Star Wars history, they're not all clones. In fact, the Jango Fett clones are the minority, or maybe not even stormtroopers anymore.
Yeah, almost entirely gone.
Yeah, so there's other clones as well as regular humans.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually even women, female stormtroopers.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And they don't have sexy armor, despite what the comic books publish.
Oh, they have the same armor?
Yeah. They according to the expanded universe canon, which of course is only very loosely able to be called canon, female stormtroopers wore the same armor as male stormtroopers did. So without their helmets off, you couldn't tell if they're men or women.
Okay, yeah. So that person could actually be a genuine stormtrooper, and it wouldn't have to change the history or the canon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually hoping that he is a stormtrooper,
mm-hmm.
and that what we're seeing is, I don't know, he's abandoned or whatever, but because I'd be curious to see where that goes.
I would too, you know. And I was thinking about that kind of jumping into the game realm of things. Like, I think that's something that's not explored upon very much in a lot of the Star Wars games is playing the part of the Empire. And I think there's so much that you could do with I really hope that they do explore it.
Well, they really play up the fact that the stormtroopers are incorruptible. So to have somebody change,
mm-hmm.
or to go over to the light side or the rebel side or I guess the New Republic side would be know, it would take a lot for them to do that, so.
Yeah, but again, if you look at the canon, at this point in the story, the Empire is, you know, fragmented, falling apart, and there's some places that can't really afford to keep up their stormtrooper regiments, so yeah, it could be that they're not as incorruptible as they were before, which in itself could be an interesting story.
In one storyline, the stormtroopers team up with Jedi and New Republic. So there's that, of course, seeing the X-Wings skim along, you're like, what are they doing? Where are they going?
Mm-hmm.
So it does a good job with the trailer where it gives you some questions. Of course, everybody was going crazy about that new lightsaber.
Yeah, which is the weirdest design, hey?
And that took about less than a day before people started picking apart that design.
I think it was less than a second when I looked at that and said, hey, wait, can't you cut those off?
But when I watched that, that just made me think of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I saw you mention that. That didn't occur to me, though I can definitely see it, yeah.
Snowy forest, it looks like Beyond the Wall.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy has a very medieval-looking lightsaber.
Yeah, well, I was wondering about your comment, and like, I actually don't know the answer to this, but I wonder how many fans of Game of Thrones there are that aren't also fans of Star Wars already.
But you can still, like, unlike Star Wars, where it had the prequels and kind of lost a lot of people, maybe, whereas Game of Thrones is like still hasn't lost its credibility.
Yeah, and come to think, I think Game of Thrones has a much larger female audience than Star Wars does.
I don't know for certain, but that sounds about right to me. So saw that. I'm not too curious about who that is. It's going to be another Sith Master, or there are always two, so I guess the Disciple.
Right. Andy Serkis was the voiceover.
Oh, was it Andy Serkis?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, some people thought it was Max von Sydow.
Yeah. There were a lot of different theories. A lot of people thought it was Benedict Cumberbatch, too, oddly enough.
So what are your predictions for the movie? Do you think it's going to be good, bad?
Oh, that's hard to say. It really is. I think it's going to be amazing, and then I'm going to worry about number 8. Because J.J. Abrams has a pretty good history of making great starts to things and then leaving those projects for other things.
A worry is we're giving a lot of properties into very few hands.
Yeah.
So all the Marvel movies are going through like a committee, and then we're getting Star Trek and Star Wars run by the same guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder, everything's going to seem really samey.
Yeah.
But people will like the 7th movie because it looks like the original trilogy. Mm. You have guys that look almost like the regular stormtroopers.
Mm-hmm.
You have X-Wings. You have the Millennium Falcon. You have TIE Fighters. So all of those, like the imagery is going to be so similar that people are going to love it. It's on Tatooine, unless there's another desert planet that they want to do. So.
And it looks exciting too. I mean, again, it's only 90 seconds worth of footage, but something that the prequels really lacked was the excitement that the original movies had. But it's kind of the thing with the new Star Trek movies, that the first one was fantastic, but left very little space for the second one to improve upon. It was only kind of able to carry it on. And I don't think the second one was as strong a movie story-wise either, so it also lacked there. But if he takes it to the extremes, like he did with the first Star Trek, then it's going to be a hard act to follow afterwards for number 8. That said, they've already got the writer and director for 8 lined up, and that's Rian Johnson, who made the movie Brick. And if you haven't seen the movie Brick, you need to go and see it right away, because it's one of the best movies I've ever seen. It's a modern noir film, and it's fantastic.
So what else has he done?
Well, Looper is his other
big claim to fame. Oh, okay. Yeah, I saw Looper. I like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He did a few episodes of Breaking Bad as well. And that's most of the big stuff.
So to have somebody who could do a really good movie like that, and just whether or not they can transition into what is essentially an action movie in space.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody, I mean, this might bode well, is that Doug Liman?
Mm-hmm.
So he directed Swingers.
Oh.
And then he went on to do Go, Born Identity, and Edge of Tomorrow, which was really good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you take a movie like Swingers, which is a great movie if people haven't seen that. It's about people trying to break into Hollywood. Again, you would put the camera in one spot, pretty much, and people just act and deliver some amazing lines.
Mm-hmm.
And to then transition into a movie like Born Identity or Edge of Tomorrow, I mean, that's good. So perhaps Rian Johnson can make the same transition.
Yeah, hopefully so.
I think they're going to do... Well, J.J. Abrams is probably a fan of Star Wars, I would imagine.
It seems so, yeah, based on his Twitter feed.
Yeah, so he's going to approach the movies like fans, so he's going to remember the things that he liked. And that one of those things are the actual characters.
Mm-hmm.
and you're going to see a lot of back and forth and that, and you see that in the Star Wars movies as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be a lot of that, and again, the same imagery, the same types of ships, so combined. So I think that'll make a pretty successful first movie. Mm. They've probably mapped out what they seem to make movies in threes now, so they've probably mapped out the next three movies. So
I can't remember the place I saw it for, but I think they're doing a break between the movie with a spin-off movie. So it was, don't quote me on this because I'm not entirely sure, but it's Star Wars 7 spin-off, Star Wars 8 spin-off.
I think you're correct. Yeah, I think I read something like that. So they're going to go a little bit crazy with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that could kind of dilute things a little bit.
Yeah.
I think Lucas maybe, with the prequels, I think he misunderstood what people were going to like. But also, I mean, people like the Jedi. When we were talking, unfortunately I couldn't play, but I was invited to play a Star Wars game. An RPG, and people are calling dibs on playing a Jedi.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to watch a Jedi, because the Jedi are boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. But everybody wants to play a Jedi, because the powers are cool.
Yeah.
And I guess it's kind of fun to play somebody that has no emotion or relationships, but to watch somebody with no emotion and relationships on the screen, but then you almost feel like saying to the fans, well, you only have yourselves to blame.
Yeah.
Yeah, you worship these Jedi, but, okay, here's a movie about Jedi. Here's a whole trilogy about Jedi. Yeah.
Well, don't forget, it was also galactic politics, too, so.
Yeah, how you like it now?
Exactly.
How you liking them Jedi now?
Maybe that was it. Maybe Lucas just got tired of people asking about Jedi. All right, I'll give you some Jedi.
Yeah, I'll give you the Jedi Council. How would you like to sit in some of those? Here's the extended version. Here's the full 15-minute council meeting.
I saw another one of those fake fan remixes of the new Star Wars trailer, and they said it was the George Lucas special edition. And they just filled up the frame with crap, like monsters walking by and CG creatures. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, Jabba the Hutt just standing there in the desert.
I actually remember that the first time I heard about the Star Wars RPG, and there's kind of all these different options. You can play a droid or a Wookiee or something. And my first thought was, why would you want to play anything but a Jedi? But now that I'm more mature, slightly, I'm actually really interested in that, because Star Wars is such a huge, expansive, and interesting universe that I would like to see a lot of things that don't focus on the Jedi.
You know, I'm going to say this. Yeah, I'd like to see that, but of course it's called The Force Awakens, so yeah, you're going to get some Jedi.
Oh, this one, obviously, but I'm talking more for the spin-offs.
Yeah. No, I think they're going to realize that we need some rogues, and we need some of this and that.
Yeah.
To do it. One thing I hope they do in the seventh movie and the subsequent movies is not be afraid to drop things in the movies. Like in A New Hope, they talk about, the Clone Wars, this. And I mean, what are the Clone Wars?
Mm-hmm.
But because people become so obsessed with the movies, they want to know, tell us about the Clone Wars. Tell us, what are these Clone Wars? So like, okay, here are the Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks. But, you know, like, leave a little mystery. Don't get into who the Jawa are. Don't have, like, an animated series on the Jawa. You know, they or the Sand People. Just show them a little bit and then leave.
Mm-hmm.
Mention the Clone Wars. Mention, I don't know, Mandalorian armor or something like that. Don't explain it. Don't tell me who the Mandalorians are.
Well, I don't know. Yes and no. I have played all of the BioWare games, which are a major source of the extended universe canon, and they're also incredibly good. The first Knights of the Old Republic game is incredible. It has a great storyline. Going back on track, they do that kind of thing where they will take things that were just kind of thrown in as background scenery in the original movies, and they'll just expand on, make full levels about them. There's one where you go to Tatooine and you find out all about the Jawas and the Sand People over a very extensive campaign. And it's not bad, per se, but yeah, you're right. A lot of the cool part about Star Wars is they just kind of throw stuff out there and they let your imagination go wild. You can build entire galaxies in your head. But I think they ruin a lot of things by going into them too deeply. That said, some of the things that are done well turn out really impressive, like the Mandalorian armor, for example. They expanded on those in the BioWare games, and the story of the Mandalorians is really, really cool. So, yeah, give and take.
Well, yeah, but I think, like, if you want to play the games, by all means, go play the games. If you want to read the comic books or read novels about this that expands upon that, that's fine, but I don't think they need to do that for the movies. And, like, if they're spinning off and all it is spinning off as, like, well, let's explain this and let's explain that, then, yeah, I don't know. And, yeah, be careful of which characters you pick to spin off of, because maybe we don't need their full story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe I think we got enough Han in those three movies. You know? Like, yeah. Lando was pretty cool, and yeah, I get it. We need more black characters in Star Wars, but we don't need any more Lando.
No, true.
Yeah, so we don't need, well, of course, they're not going, you know, Billy Dee Williams is obviously not going to get a spin-off movie.
Billy Dee Williams is listening to this podcast somewhere saying, damn you!
I'm in negotiations now.
Give me more Lando.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, you take the whatever character is on that speeder, and yeah, maybe that person's interesting, but maybe they're just interesting, you know, in an ensemble cast.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I actually kind of kicked myself for it. I had what I consider a bad fan reaction to it. I saw the new lightsaber and how it has kind of that raggedy blade with, like, lightning bolts kind of arcing across it compared to the more smooth blade in the other movies. And my first reaction to that was, oh, that looks different. I don't like that. And I was thinking about it afterwards, and yeah, you know what? Forget it. It's J.J. Abrams' movie now. It's his vision. Let him be artistic with it. It doesn't have to look the same. And yeah, I kind of felt bad for being that much of a fan critic.
The red one that was in the trailer?
Yeah. You look at the old movies. The blade is kind of just a straight line. It's like very clean and smooth. But the one in the preview is kind of like raggedy and has like little tiny lightning bolts arcing across it.
Okay. I mean, it looks like a lightsaber to me, except for it looked a little bit thinner, longer, but...
That's because you're a medium fan. You're not a true warrior.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I just understand, like, you know, more power to him. Artistic license, take it, use it. It doesn't have to be all fan service.
No, that's a good point. But really, making another, 15 movies is fan service.
It is. Money. But when you have this many millions of fans, you know, do it.
Yeah, we're not going to put anything that you don't recognize in this trailer. So, we're not going to put, I guess that speeder was a little bit different, but other than that, it's like...
the droid who is also a football? I don't know.
Well, name the three most iconic ships in the Star Wars. Oh, Millennium Falcon? Check.
Yep.
TIE Fighter? Check. X-Wing? Yep. Check. Oh, got it.
Guy in a black robe with a red sword?
Yep, got that too. Now, Black Stormtrooper. Ooh! You almost had me, Abrams.
Abrams!
Yeah. I like the actor's reaction to it. He just said, get used to it.
Yeah. I thought that was great.
I guess that's pretty old school, Lucas, is casting a lot of unknowns.
Mm,
yeah. Or kind of knowns. Mm. So. You know, with the old cast, who are you most looking forward to seeing on the screen again?
Oh, that's tough.
Because I think they've got pretty much everybody.
It sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, I'm a bigger fan of Mark Hamill for the things he's done after Star Wars than for Star Wars itself. His voice acting is really good.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford, sure, but he's done a ton of movies, so, you know, I'm not, like, thirsty to see him.
Thirsty to see?
Carrie Fisher... I'm happy because she's still alive, you know, after her history.
I would say probably I'm most excited to see Mark Hamill in the movie because I think he'd do a good job, but I also think they'll do a good job with his character.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if they're going to do a good job with Leia, although I would like to see Carrie Fisher again. But yeah, I don't need to see Han. I think he'd kind of be what he was before. Whereas I'm actually curious to see, okay, now what is Luke Skywalker like now?
Yeah, I am interested in seeing what they do with Luke Skywalker. Not specifically Mark Hamill, but with the character. Because he supposedly goes on and founds the new Jedi Order and is this big, amazing warrior and hero and everything. And I honestly never saw Luke Skywalker, the character, being able to pull off something like that. So I'd like to see how that's played.
And after we saw the Jedi Council in the prequels, the bar is really low now.
This is true.
Well, you mentioned games. So you played the BioWare games. I don't think I've played any of them. I do have Knights of the Old Republic, but never got around to playing it.
You really should. It is so good.
But how about the role-playing games? I've played the West End Games D6.
Mm-hmm.
I had the D20, but didn't do anything with it.
Yeah.
And I made up a character for the new Fantasy Flight Star Wars, Edge of the Empire. Mm.
Yeah, I read the D6 one, and I read the Fantasy Flight one. Never actually played them. I started one session of a D6 one ages and ages ago, but never got past that. But I've read thoroughly and listened to quite a few actual casts of the Fate Star Wars. It's just a fan remake of it. That's an idea for one of the games that I'm going to run with you guys in the future. Fingers crossed.
I saw something like that on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're talking about?
I did watch the things on YouTube, yeah.
Okay. The Fate certainly works well for Star Wars, because, it's very hand-wavy.
It is.
You don't need something really crunchy. I think one thing the West End games did really well was really get into the stuff that people wanted them to get into. It was like, well, here are the ships, and they had inserted, like, here's what the advertisement would be by the company that makes TIE Fighters,
mm-hmm.
and inserted that into the book. So they were really attractive, and there were just enough rules. Wasn't mm-hmm. overly complicated, but certainly got into a lot of details and provided nice pictures of the ships and mm-hmm. and of the equipment. So that was really good.
There were so many books in the D6 system, and it was all it was great. It was all fan service, and it was really good at delving into the world. I enjoyed just reading through those books.
They're really good, and they were kind of in a dark time for Star Wars. For the most part, they were before the prequels.
Didn't they lose the license before the prequels came out?
I think they were able to do one or two books.
Okay.
I seem to remember a cover with Hayden Christensen on it.
Oh, really?
Hmm. Yeah. But maybe they lost it right after that. But they were trying to spin it off a bit and get away from the main movies.
Uh-huh.
Maybe because, and we've talked about this in past episodes, one of the problems with playing Star Wars is, what do you play? Most people know the movies.
Mm-hmm.
So do we play the movies? And what are we playing in the movies? Are we playing Han Solo, or are
right.
we playing somebody who doesn't really matter because Han Solo and Luke Skywalker do it all?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. And West End tried. I think it was West End where they had an advertisement, which was the quote, a lot of somebody's, I'm only a medium fan, a lot of somebody's died to get us these plans. And it's like, yeah, you can play this part of it. Oh, I can play the guy that died to get those plans. Okay. Yeah. But I got it. It's like, other stuff was happening, Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, the guy that blew up?
You can play Porkins.
Be Luke's rear guard.
Yeah, right.
Somebody had to get shot, so Luke survived.
So what's your character's name? Gold 2.
So, towards the end, sorry, long point, West End tried to, I think it was called the Dark Striker campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, here's a part of the world that you maybe don't know, or the universe, mm-hmm. galaxy, sorry, that you're not aware of, and let's play that and see how you like that. Mm-hmm. And I guess people didn't. or the license is too expensive, because, they lost it, and they went out of business.
Mm-hmm.
For my money, that was the best. Edge of the Empire. Yeah, I made a droid. I was kind of excited. I made a protocol droid that, when the story was,
mm-hmm.
he had been bought to act as to be a teacher for this town on the fringe. And they ran into some hard times, so they needed cash.
Mm-hmm.
So they send him out to work with smugglers and rogues and huts
mm-hmm.
as kind of their information, their interpreter, their negotiator,
mm-hmm.
and then he sends the money back to the town.
Yeah.
So that was it. But I actually found the character not difficult to make, but it was really tough picturing what some of the things did. So mm-hmm. When you make a character and it's like, well, I get if I put more points here, I can see what I'm going to do with that.
Right.
If I buy this skill, I could kind of visualize what I'm going to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
But they had this tree, a talent tree, I think they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I'm not really sure what these talents are telling me, but I guess I'll buy up to here.
Okay.
So I'm spending points, but I don't really know what I was spending the points on.
I see.
So it's definitely a game you would build your character, play a couple sessions, and then talk to the game master and say, "Can I change?"
Yeah.
A lot.
One of the ones I was looking at recently that it's another fan hack, but it's of the Dogs in the Vineyard system. Which, it just looks like a really, really, really good game for Star Wars. The basic premise behind Dogs in the Vineyard is that you're these Mormon gunfighters who roll into towns and solve whatever kind of problems and evil are in the town, and then you kind of roll back out. It's a very session-to-session kind of game. But the way it's set up is that these, since they're Mormons, they have a very strict ethical code that they have to follow to. They're also really skilled and kind of more powerful than other people, and then in the world, there is kind of this dark influencing force, quote unquote. And that maps so well to what you could do with playing Jedi in that same kind of a path. It just looks like it would work out really, really well for that. Also, the narrative style in Dogs in the Vineyard is very open to where the GM could, for example, tell you that you walk into a field, there's three guys waiting behind a trailer to ambush you, but you haven't seen them yet. What do you do? And that's something you could pretty well hand wave away with the use of the Force, so you can keep it both in the game and at the table and not have to meta it out. So, I don't know, I haven't played it yet, but I'm really dying to. I think that would be an amazing game.
And of course, other games, well, by Fantasy Flight is X-Wing, which was a big hit.
Oh, yeah,
so they've decided to do what the movies do is when you got a hit, make more. So they've got X-Wing, if you're not aware, is like fighter combat. Then Armada is more of the capital ships.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's Imperial Assault, which will be ground troops.
Oh, cool. I hadn't heard about that one yet.
Yeah. I mean, it looks good, and of course, I play X-Wing. I just don't think I can invest in another miniature game.
I know what you mean. I love X-Wing, though. It's a great game.
Yeah, every wave I go, that's it, I'm done.
Mm.
And then they pull me back in. Yeah. I mean, they've got, I just bought Rebel Aces.
Oof.
And that finished me off. And then they came out with the new wave, and I didn't recognize some of the ships, because, you know, I know some of the extended universe, but not a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, if I can't recognize the ships, and I was like, oh, what are those other ones? Oh. And it was kind of like Rogue or Smuggler versions of like a Y-Wing and a couple Headhunters. So. So yeah, that's a really good game.
It really is. But yeah, a lot of great games out there for it, for a lot of great movies. And we hope that trend continues.
All right, well, that wraps up our episode on Star Wars. Not a lot of gaming talk, but we really just wanted to talk about really the big news in our world, and that is the trailer for Episode 7, The Force Awakens. And
it's our podcast, so we can do that.
Yeah. And Wayne's not here to tell us any different.
Right. He's the one that's kept us grounded all these years.
God, people want to hear about mechanics. No, they don't. And apologies for missing last week. There was a little scheduling problem.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to cancel our recording time at the last minute.
Yep.
So then we decided to make up for it by posting lots of things about Star Wars. On our Facebook page. So if you don't check that, then you missed all that goodness. Okay.
Cool.
And we'll be back next week with a proper gaming episode.
Yeah, and maybe Wayne. All right, well, thank you for joining us again on Out of Red Hands. Check us out online at www.idleredhands.com, outofredhands.com. You can listen to the episode right there on the website, or stream it through iTunes or Stitcher, or download it off of DriveThruRPG. You can plus one us on G+, you can like us on Facebook, you can follow us on Twitter, or you can join up and talk to us in our forums. Those are at idleredhands.com/forums, and are hosted by Happy Jacks. Thank you very much, guys. Or you can send us an email at info@idleredhands.com. Thanks a lot, and see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Drive Through RPG. We average 9 new titles a day. That's over 60 a week. And we've got well over 15,000 RPG titles online right now. Drive Through RPG, the one true source for RPGs.
Idle Red Hands, recorded in Kobe, Japan. See us online at www.idleredhands.com. Music provided by Tripod Jimmy, and the song was Roadkill. Hope you enjoyed it. See you next time.